אתם עם SBS בעברית.
It's been more than 410 days since the October 7 attacks led by Hamas that saw more than 250 Israeli and foreign civilians taken hostage. Israeli government officials say there are currently 101 remaining hostages in Gaza. Numerous protests have taken place in Israel, with family members calling for ceasefire and release of the hostages. Among them is Ofri Bibas, aunt to the youngest hostages, Kfir and Ariel Bibas, who is asking for international support.
I call on you, leaders of the world, President Biden and President-elect Trump, don't give up on the hostages. Two children, their parents, and 97 other hostages are waiting to be saved, to be brought back home to their families. And to my government, I say, Ariel and Kfir are our future, and I cannot imagine what the future will look like if we fail to bring them home.
Meanwhile, a number of civilian-led groups are congregating around the world in a bid to support the families of the dead, as well as the hostages. One such person is Nirit Eilon, who is the director of the United with Israel, an organization formed in the aftermath of last year's attacks. With political alignments put to the side, Nirit's team focuses on advocacy as well as humanitarian support by working directly with the Hostages and Missing Families Forum in Israel. I spoke to Nirit about her work in support of the hostages and started by asking how she's feeling.
It's very difficult days. We're all heartbroken. This week we heard a testimonial of one of the hostages that came back after 55 days. Liam Oh, and what he been through, only thinking about what they are enduring during the 400 days. We know from the hostages, the bodies of the hostages that were about 2 months ago executed and their bodies returned to Israel, in what conditions they were. It's heartbreaking. War is never a pleasant time. It's always endure difficulties. But this one in particular, what happened during the October 7th and since, I think affecting the entire Jewish community globally, and of course the people in Israel.
There are many grassroots organizations just like yours, and they're dotted around the country. There's one in Sydney, for example, called Together with Israel. How effective do you think these groups are?
I think by being a grassroots movement, it allows us more flexibility and quick actions. We've been established on the 7th of October from the understanding that action needed to happen. While the big Jewish organization did massive donations, we did actions, things like putting hostages flyers across the cities, working together to bring awareness to the hostages and what is happening. In Israel, there was established a grassroots movement of the Hostages Family Forum. Today, it's more organized, but in early days, it was very much grassroots. And we were nominated to represent them in Australia and help bring awareness in Australia and New Zealand, by the way, of the hostages and their stories and how can we globally affect and put pressure to get the hostages released. We need to remember that at the end of the day, these hostages are just civilians that have been kidnapped out of their houses in daylight. Children, infants, babies, teenage, all the way to elderly people that survived the Holocaust. We heard from Liam Oh only this week here in Australia that he was giving a plastic sheet to lay on and a plastic sheet to cover himself after he's been shot. There was no medical treatment to him. And these are only few testimonials that we are hearing. We know about sexual assault. We know about physical assault. It's hard things to hear, thinking about people staying in those conditions for over 400 days. For me, it's devastating.
With the hostages that have been released, what are some of the priorities that they need right now?
I think the hostages that have been released are taken care of. But in order for them to fully recover, they need to see their friends coming back. It's friends, it's families. We know that from the community of Nir Oz, 1/3 of the community was either murdered or in captivity, and so many of them are still there. This is a whole community that cannot heal, not near Oz, not Kfar Aza, not Be'eri. In order for them to heal, they need to have their friends back home. Those that are alive to rebuild themselves, and those that are murdered just to be buried. We hear about so many young people who went to the Nova Festival. This is a peace festival. So many of them being brutally murdered and kidnapped. The fact that we don't have much information about many of the majority of them, we don't have much information. We're still seeking information of Kfir and Ariel. Kfir is more days in captivity than he was outside of captivity. He was 10 months old when he was kidnapped. This is terrible. Ariel is only 5 years old. That's unimaginable.
Psychological impact on the hostages that have returned home and their families. How is your organization helping them?
We are rallying every Sunday morning, and by mentioning all the names of the hostages, telling their stories, sending messages from the families and to the families, we know that we are strengthening them, and we get the same thing from people and communities in Israel. That's our goal, to maintain that awareness. It's been over a year. People start to forget. People think about other things and losing the focus that we still have 101 innocent people kept hostage in the tunnels of Gaza.
Do you speak to any of the hostages' families who are still missing their loved ones in Gaza as we speak? Do you have communication with them?
So we have communication through the form, but we also, with some of them, have direct communication. All they want is their loved ones back. They're fighting every single day to get their loved ones back. If you are a mom to a young girl that's been kidnapped, whether you know or don't know what she's going through, and only imagine what she's going through, you can't just ignore it and sit by. You know, it's a very different situation that we previously had when we had one or two people being kidnapped. This is an attack on the country of Israel. We have a huge amount of people that the country needs to bring them back now. If I was a mom of a hostage, I would do everything to get my daughter back, or my son, or my brother, or my grandfather, or my father.
I know that you've recently had something at Caulfield Park in Melbourne, people that created an installation of the number 400 to mark 400 days. Are you still actively raising money? And if so, where's the money going? Do you get to make decisions on where to spend the money?
Yes. The installation was very powerful, and we managed to get it through the media in Israel as well. We got a lot of response back from people to say how much they appreciate our efforts, and knowing that we are the furthest but the closest in heart, I always say, they really appreciate it. In regards to raising funds, yes, we have various projects. Previously, we've done things like building an art therapy room for the children in the Gaza envelope in Kibbutz Iki to help them overcome this huge trauma. So each time we raise funds for various causes, mainly for the evacuees, that's our goal, to help them. So we started with sending goods as the war broke out. And we sent 26 tons of goods to the evacuees communities, 25 communities, just by being in touch with the communities directly and their representative. We understand what are their needs and help achieve that.
And Nirit, can you feel if there's an uptick in anti-Semitism? I know that you're in Melbourne, but for the wider Jewish community around Australia.
Yeah, I think it's very obvious, and we all feel that. That's not a question anymore. If at first it was just small drops, now we can feel everywhere. I immigrated to Australia because it's La La Land. It's peaceful, it's beautiful, and that's what Australia is all about, right? We want our peace and quiet. But the reality is that Hamas, Hezbollah, and other terror organizations have nests here, and they are operating. And they are operating without anyone putting an end to it. And if the government of Australia is not going to take action, we will find ourselves in a very different Australia, no longer peaceful. And it's not even about only anti-Semitism that is rising, but in general, violence is rising, and we will see more and more of that. So if we as Australians want to continue to feel safe, we need to maintain that. We need to stop that, to stop those people and make sure that we maintain our Australian nature. It's something we can't keep ignoring. And the same way in Australia, giving freedom of speech, which is super important. And that's why we live here. And that's why we want to be here. Need to be bounded by the fact who stand behind it and what kind of messages they are delivering.
So you're saying that the Australian government hasn't done enough within its power to combat anti-Semitism, yet on the 9th of July this year, the Albanese government has appointed a special envoy to combat anti-Semitism by the name of Gillian Siegel. You don't think that they're doing enough to really stand up against this?
First of all, I think it's a well-deserved appointment and she's a brilliant person. And don't get me wrong, yes, it's a step towards what we need to do. But when you give 5,000 visas for refugees, which, by the way, is the right thing to do, but you're not doing a basic checkup on those people that are coming, then it puts Australia in danger. Yes, there are a few steps forward, but there are not enough steps to stop that.
There have been some refusals on some of the visas for the Palestinians coming from Gaza. So I wouldn't say that it's a clean sweep that anyone who wants to come can just come.
We know that, and we heard the testimonials that there are different levels of checkup. And I know that when I wanted to immigrate here, I had to go through a process of 18 months to be screened. And I understand, obviously, it's a very different situation when you have a refugee and you want to quickly bring them on board. However, basic elements need to be implemented. And we need to recognize that there is a change in Australia. We want to make sure that this change is not crossing boundaries. And that's where we are at. I'm not saying that everything that the government is doing is wrong. Absolutely not. There are many good steps that it's doing, but there is need to be more firm hand against violence. And there is a lot of violence happening. There is a clear cut between saying what you want and delivering a message. And we've been doing it for over a year without one incident of violence, comparing to nonstop violence coming from the other side. And again, it's not all the people that are protesting there. On the contrary, majority of them are come and they fight for their cause, and that's legit. What isn't legitimate is that some of them are very extreme, very violent, and take advantage of the fact that we have freedom of speech, but it doesn't mean that they have freedom to act in the most violent way.
עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.